and welcome to On the Prez with me, your host, Alex Daugherty of A to Z Sports, and Sean Smith, also of A to Z Sports. Welcome in, everyone. Sean, how's it going?
Going pretty good, Alex. Had a good weekend. How about you?
Pretty good one. Yeah, not too bad. Very busy. Went to my first concert in a long time. Went to the Ryman Auditorium last night. That was a lot of fun. And wow. I believe you had a baseball tournament and you got sunburned.
Yeah, my son had a one day travel ball tournament yesterday, and they played three games in a row in the heat of the day, probably 6,000 degrees in the shade, and despite copious sunscreen application, he still managed to get a pretty intense sunburn. So
nice,
you know.
Get him back in the hockey rink. There's no sun in there. That's the best thing about hockey. It's indoors.
Exactly right. Yeah.
So today on the show, we are going to focus on something a little different from last week. Last week's show involving karaoke music was one of my favorites. A lot of fun. If you have not listened to that, please go back and listen to it. We named 10 Nashville Predators players as karaoke songs. That was a lot of fun. We're going to switch back to a more hockey focus this week. Obviously, the season is still a month away. Well, more than a month away for the season. We're probably less than a month away now from training camp, but we will find out very soon when that starts and see some more details on this Nashville Predators roster and how it will emerge. But Sean, today I thought what we would do is we would do a Central Division roundup. We're going to take a look at all the teams in the Central Division, figure out who they added, who they subtracted, maybe any other changes to their team, and kind of just a recap of where the other teams are at. And then kind of see, you know, how do the Nashville Predators fit into this, given all the changes. I think that this exercise, as we were saying before we started, has shown to me that the Central Division overall is worse than it was last year.
Based on what I've seen, and of course, you know, everything I've kept up with over the offseason, I'd have to agree with that. There's a lot of teams that have lost very high caliber players and replaced them with, say, less talented players.
I mean, when you talk about players like Kevin Fiala, Alex DeBrincat, John Klingberg, Nazem Kadri, just those four names alone, those four players were huge for their teams last year. You know, massive star power there, incredible talents, all gone. And I don't think there's one player coming back into the Central Division that equals any single one of those players. There's some decent players that are coming in. I mean, I like Mason Marchment a lot, and we'll get to that when we talk about Dallas. There's some other decent players, but no one comes close to those four players. So we're going to take a look at all the teams, and we're going to do these four things. We have four categories here for each team. Key additions. Notice that I'm not saying all additions. I am not going to list every single player that every team added or lost. Frankly, I do not care what the St. Louis Blues minor league affiliates look like. I'm sorry. I don't care. So we're not going to worry about that. I also am not going to – I didn't include draft picks. I didn't include any of the 2022 draft picks. Likely some of those will contribute in some way this year or, you know, maybe even last year's draft picks. But it just there's too much uncertainty with the prospects and stuff that, like, you just really can't consider that. I'm only really going with proven assets at this point. Proven assets in, proven assets out, any other relevant changes like coaching or anything like that, and then who is that team's best player going into 2022-2023? Okay?
Works for me.
Here's what you get to decide, Sean.
Okay.
Which team do you want to go on talk about first?
Oh. I'm going to talk about St. Louis first, and I'll tell you why. Getting ready to spend, you mentioned getting the boy back into the hockey rink. He will be back on the ice this Tuesday.
The Blues?
What?
He's playing for the Blues now?
No. Well, here's the thing. I know he's only 7 years old. No, but he'll be back on the ice with his new team, and they're playing three tournaments in St. Louis this year. So getting ready to spend a lot of time in St. Louis. So I figure probably be around, need to be able to talk to the – the local folk about their team. So let's start there.
All right. St. Louis. Okay. So the biggest thing that I have about the St. Louis Blues is they're basically the same team except for a couple changes. The key additions for them would be Nick Leddy on defense. He's going to step in and play in the top four role. And then Tomas Greiss, the goalie, I guess he's going to be the new backup for them. For Jordan Binnington. And I think that those changes really don't do a whole lot for them. The biggest thing would be that Ville Husso is gone. And I think I forgot to add him on my list, actually. But Ville Husso is now with Detroit. That's right. Ville Husso, who was their, like, top – I mean, he was basically the replacement for when Jordan Binnington was bad. I mean, Ville Husso was really good last year. Yeah. And he is now in Detroit. So Tomas Greiss is not the same player. So, like, I guess they got worse. But, you know, I think that the Blues really need to have Jordan Binnington be their guy anyways. So Jordan Binnington and Tomas Greiss will be their goalies. But Nick Leddy comes in. The other major name that's out is David Perron. And David Perron is now also in Detroit. Go ahead.
I think it's really exciting when you look at adding Greiss to the mix there with Binnington. That's just two goalies that I really don't like at all. I mean, look at all of Binnington's antics and nonsense on the ice, and then you've got Greiss with his little helmet fiasco a few years ago. It just adds to the whole wow, just what a crew back there between the pipes for the Blues.
Yeah, but, like, you know, honestly, the Blues don't really see – other than the goaltending changes and one additional defenseman and losing one forward, like, their main crew is going to stick together. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with Tarasenko. Maybe he gets traded. The rest of their lineup is just, like, very, very similar to what we've seen. Ryan O'Reilly, Braden Schenn, Jordan Kyrou, and Robert Thomas are emerging. They still have Brandon Saad from that contract they signed last year. Buchnevich, who they signed last year, I believe, or traded for. And Justin Falk, Torrey Krug, Colton Parayko, Marco Scandella, are all around. So, and, you know, they traded for a lot of these players in the last couple of years, but the Blues, I think, you know, and also, in the other changes category, Craig Berube has signed a 3-year contract extension. So he's still the coach. And the best player that I have going into this season for them is probably either Jordan Kyrou or Robert Thomas, though I could really hear an argument for any of these guys. I mean, you can't discount Derek Tarasenko for what he does. Ryan O'Reilly is just a really solid center in my mind. I've always liked him as a player. I would hear an argument for any of those, but Jordan Kyrou, the impact that he made on the team last year, and then Robert Thomas is just, like, continuing to emerge as, like, a really, really solid, and he signed that contract extension. He's going to make $8 million a year next year. That's what I've got.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I really like I really like Robert Thomas on that team too. I think, you know, the contract extension for their coach too, they put on a pretty good show after going from what last to first in a few years ago, winning the Stanley Cup. And they had a great season last season. I mean, 109 points is usually good for more than third place in your division, but I mean, look what they were competing against. So clearly they like what is going on in St. Louis, and they're looking to kind of keep it that way. So yeah, not a huge lot of changes, but pretty much the same team, but a team that's done well. So
there you go.
Yeah.
And until they get your son on board, they really won't make that next step, you know?
Right. I mean, he's good along the boards. We'll say that.
I mean, he's a two-way defenseman, man. Really good. Okay. Who's next? Who do you want to talk about next?
Do I get to pick every time? I feel like it's my birthday.
It's like a draft. You get to pick.
Oh, man. You can go anywhere. I'm trying to get some of the ones where there's not a lot to talk about out of the way. You know, kind of save the bangers for later, right? Let's talk about the my favorite desert team, the Arizona Coyotes.
Arizona. Now, there is quite a lot to talk about with them, but only because of, like, who they – well, Arizona is always an interesting team to look at their transaction log, right? Like, The Arizona Coyotes transaction log is just, I mean, it's like trying to watch the stock market exchange or something. It's just like there's constant movement. I mean, it's like you could do day trading involving just the Coyotes transactions. Like who's moving up? Who am I holding on to? Who's coming in? Who's going out? Where's the cap? What's the cap number at? Who'd they take on? What's their latest cap barrage look like? This year their only key subtraction is really Phil Kessel. I think they lost a couple other guys, but that's the biggest one. And they added a lot of guys. They really overhauled their defense. They added Patrick Nemeth, Troy Stetcher, and Josh Brown, who are not great defensemen, but you know that's par for the course in Arizona, I guess.
That's Arizona.
And they added Nick Bjugstad, Laurent Dauphin, who they had before, and I guess I didn't realize that he ever left them. And then John Gillies, is that how you say his name? John Gills, the goalie. Let me see how you say his name. John Gillies. Is it Gills, Gillies? John Gillies is how you say his name. So John Gillies is going to be their new backup goalie to Vejmelka, who I guess is just they're rolling ahead with him. The only other key addition. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What?
So why not? Or just you know.
The only other key addition would be they have a new arena.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I'm excited about the new arena.
I'm kind of excited about it too. I think it could be kind of interesting.
I'm really trying to figure out a way to make it out to Arizona so I can watch a game there.
I mean, I think it actually could be kind of neat. And while I don't want there to be a ton of teams out there that resort to the like glorified AHL, actually smaller than AHLs in some cases, arena size. The atmosphere could be – I mean, I've been to AHL games, and, like, when they're full, they're fun, man. I mean, they're loud.
Yeah.
They're entertaining. And
well, I think, you know, there's something to be said for getting to see, you know, professional-level, you know, product on a smaller-scale stage. I don't really know. I think the best comparison I have – and understand, this isn't a direct comparison, but there was back toward – I guess it was probably around – 2010. I don't know if anybody remembers that far back, but around 2010, Kings of Leon, they're a music band. I don't know if anyone's heard of them before.
Yeah.
But they were probably the biggest band in the world at the time. And some British TV show was filming them in their hometown and them around Nashville or something like that. And they wanted like a concert kind of deal, and so they got Rocket Town and they let 200 people in to watch essentially the biggest band in the world at the time. And somehow, because we had a newborn child, my wife was up at 3 a.m. and the thing popped up that they needed an audience, so she put all our names in, and we got picked to go. We got to see the Kings of Leon in front of 200 people. I mean, that was it.
That's weird.
Was crazy. I was right in the front. I didn't have to pay a dime for it. It was an incredible experience. And I don't want to say clearly that the Coyotes are being compared here to the Kings of Leon in 2010, but surely the Coyotes will host some good teams.
No, I think that's actually not a bad comparison, because Kings of Leon were good for about 1 year. And I think Arizona had like maybe 1 year of being good.
That's quite a hot take about the Kings of Leon, but I'm not going to disagree about the Coyotes.
They are from Nashville. I mean, you got like a good Nashville band, but I mean, I'm not a huge fan. I'll just be honest. But
everybody has bad opinions, Alex. I can't help it.
Yes, that's true. Okay, so Arizona's best player going into 2022, I have it as Clayton Keller. I think that's pretty clear. He's coming back from a leg injury, so we'll see how he is. I think all reports are that he will be back and be fine. So Clayton Keller is the best player for Arizona moving in. Not a ton of changes. Don't expect that team to be really all that good. Although, you know, maybe they shored up their defense a little bit. Maybe their defense is better. All right, who's next? We're going to do one more, and then we're going to take a break.
Okay. Let's go. Let's talk about the Jets.
The Winnipeg Jets. Okay. Let's talk about the subtractions first. I think that losing Paul Stastny and Andrew Kopp are their two biggest losses. I keep forgetting to do this. Let me pull up their thing here. I just always like to have their sort of stuff in front of me so I can make sure I'm getting this right. Winnipeg Jets lost Andrew Kopp, lost, what did I just say, Paul Stastny. Those were not huge contributors for them, but the two of their top eight scorers, I mean, like, that's somewhat significant. And they gain not much. they gained, like, hardly anything. Kyle Capobianco, heard of him? Kevin Stinland?
Nope.
Dave Riddick, heard of him?
Oh, I've heard of him.
Yep.
I'm familiar with his body of work.
They did re-sign Pierre-Luc Dubois, who is back for next year for 1 year. And they have a new head coach. And I think that might be their most significant addition. They have a new head coach in Rick Bonus, who left Dallas and is now in Winnipeg. I do not think that the Winnipeg Jets are a better team.
Not at all.
I don't know that Rick Bonus really does a lot for them. They go into next season with basically the same kind of team that they have this year, probably worse because they lost those two guys, didn't replace them with much. Yeah, I mean, and then I think this team will go as far as Connor Hellebuck carries them. I mean, he's a really good goalie. He will be very good for them. David Riddick will not, but that's who they got. So I think Hellebuck's probably going to start, 70 games?
Probably. I mean, that's
– sorry, go ahead.
That's kind of what you have to – I hate saying this because, I mean, Dave Riddick's a really good guy, you know, but when that's what you have to rely on as a backup, you know that you really have to start your starter every chance you get. And unfortunately, I think we have seen what happens when that's what you do to your starter. It doesn't end well. So mm-hmm.
I think one expectation I think is that Mason Appleton will take a step forward. They signed him to a deal, but like he had 4 points last year and they signed him to a 3 year deal worth $2 million each year, $3 million. Wow. So $6 million contract. Jakob Trenin had way better numbers than that. And he signed for 1.7. So it's like, I don't really understand what that's about. So Winnipeg, don't really understand what they're doing.
Do you really think that Rick Bonus is that much of an upgrade?
No.
I don't either. I'm not a big fan. I don't like his style. You know, I'm a big big vibes guy over here, you know. Yeah. So I remember watching the road to the what was it? The Winter Classic that they had on TV, which was, you know, Bonus was the interim coach, I guess, at the time for Dallas. And of course, LaViolette was on his way out in Nashville. And as much as it was painfully obvious that there were issues, there were really some red flags with Bonus that I was like, this guy is kind of a, I don't know. The vibes weren't good, man. Vibes weren't good. So I'm not sure that that's going to end well there in Winnipeg.
I don't either. So we've covered the St. Louis Blues. We've covered the Arizona Coyotes and the Winnipeg Jets. We still have four teams to go, and then we'll also talk about the Predators. But before we do that, if you want to live better, feel better, and sleep better every day, you need to check out Relax the Back. They've got tons of customized comfort options for the office, relaxing at home. I mean, they have so much stuff that can help you if you are having if you have an injury, if you're trying to recover from a workout even, or if you just can't sleep at night, if you're having really a lot of trouble sleeping and you got back issues, go check out Relax the Back. Like I said, recovery options if you've been injured or are recovering from a workout. The sleep options, they've got that techno gel that I'm always talking about. Wedge systems and posture pillows for getting you in the correct natural position for sleeping, all about getting that spine in the right position when you're going to sleep. You just got to check it out. Relax the Back store in Green Hills. You got to go to 2020 Glen Echo Road right there in Green Hills. And a sleep agent is on hand every day. Glenn is the guy that owns the store. Talk to him about the four pillars of wellness: healthy sleep, healthy body, healthy work, and healthy mind. Who do you want to talk about next? Which team do you want to cover next?
Let's see. There's a dumpster fire on here that would be fun to talk about for sure. There's kind of a mess, and then there's another team that's just kind of okay. Let's go with this. I have a specific order I want to go in.
Okay. All right.
So let's see. Let's start with. Hold on. Start with. Let's talk about the Stars.
Okay. Rick Bonus's former team.
Yes.
They have a new head coach. We'll talk about that in a second. But so I think Dallas is in a precarious position because the biggest issue that they have right now is Jason Robertson and Jake Oettinger are both RFAs and are not signed. We are deep into August. We're deep into the Augie dog right here.
And is that a thing that people call August?
It is a thing that I just called August.
Deep okay, into August. I know that I'm, you know, regionally I'm an outsider. So I thought maybe I just missed that one, but
we're deep in the aug and okay. They have unsigned their guy. We're getting to Sep. Sep is almost here. And when Oct gets here and Oettinger and Robertson are unsigned, that's going to be bad news for Dallas. That is really the hang up for that team. I mean, they also made some changes, which are interesting ones, and they lost a couple of players. We'll talk about in a second, but I really think it hinges on Robertson and Oettinger, their top goalie and their top offensive player. Jason Robertson yeah. was a huge player for them last year. I mean, like massive player. I think he's their best player going into next year if he's on the team. I think that they will, but the issue is that they only have like $10 million, and Robertson's going to make like 8 or 9 of that.
Yeah. I mean, he's good.
So either they're going to just throw everything into Robertson and just let Oettinger sit there and not be signed, which would be really dumb. So I don't know what they're going to do about that. But key additions for the Dallas Stars, Mason Marchment, who came over from Florida, Colin Miller, who I think was in Buffalo, and Will Butcher. Colin Miller, defenseman. He was formerly with Boston, and now he's Buffalo. Will Butcher, a defenseman who I really thought was going to be better at New Jersey and just didn't really pan out. He had a really good first year, and then he just tailed off. So they got a couple of defensemen. Why did they get a couple defensemen? Because John Klingberg, their top defenseman, is now in Anaheim. So he is gone. And they got a forward out because Alex Radulov went back to the KHL. So Alex Radulov is gone. That's the two biggest losses there, Klingberg and Radulov. In addition, you've got another year of, you know, Ben and Sagan and all those guys, and Pavelski's still there. And they have a new head coach, Pete DeBoer. Pete DeBoer fired in Vegas and then finally finds a home in Dallas.
I like the concept of calling them new head coaches because, like, I guess they're new to the team, but yeah. There are no new head coaches. You just have to recycle, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The same 32.
Yes, there's 32 head coaches and there's 32 teams. It works out perfectly.
One must perish before another can rise.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, it's because there's 32 medallions, 32 magical medallions that they all hold. And if one loses one, another must find that medallion lost in the mountains in order to
redeem
the team.
It's possible to win one in combat, but, you know, that doesn't happen too often.
True. That is true.
Can, win one in combat. I think that's how I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that is how John Hines got his.
Was that's how Peter Laviolette got a head coach in Washington because he beat Washington. I don't know. I'm just making something up now. But, yes. Okay, so Pete DeBoer's the head coach. Yeah, Dallas, I mean – again, it all goes back to Jason Robertson. If he's on the team, and I think there's no way they don't sign Jason Robertson. But then what if they don't sign Jake Oettinger? Then they've got Scott Wedgwood. That's a significant step down from Oettinger, who's 23. Scott Wedgwood's 30. Boy, I don't know. I mean, like, if you go into a season without a quality goalie, you are basically saying we are probably not a playoff team. Because only the good goalies make the playoffs. So every playoff team has a good goalie. I guess that's what I'm saying. Maybe not everyone, but most of them. So yeah, it comes down to that. We'll see what happens with them. You know what? I actually forgot. They have Anton Khudobin. Khudobin, who was injured most of last year. So maybe, let me revise that. Anton Khudobin, it will be back probably. So maybe, but they can't not sign Ottinger. He's their draft pick. He's like their future in goal. So I don't know.
Kind of something's got to happen. I don't know what they're going to do there, but you cannot let Robertson go.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. He is
too
good of a player, too exciting of a player, and just someone who you know is going to be good for several years. Letting him go right now, I mean, what are you saying about your team? We're not a contender. We don't want to contend.
Yep. So that's where Dallas is at. Who's next?
Okay. Next. Three teams left. Let's talk about Colorado.
Okay. So Colorado lost more than they added.
Yep.
But they're still probably going to win the Stanley Cup next year.
Probably.
It's really sad, but I look at this roster and I'm like, I mean, I don't see any way that this team is not back in the Stanley Cup final, at least. Their losses are not insignificant, though. Darcy Kuemper was a mainstay for them last year. He's not the best goalie in the world, but he goes to Washington, so they do lose their starting goalie. They get another option back, though, so we'll talk about that when they get to additions. But they lose Darcy Kuemper. They lose Nazem Kadri, of course. He goes to Calgary. And they lose Andrei Burakovsky, a sneaky loss, I think. I mean, I think Burakovsky is really good, really skilled player. He goes to Seattle. They get Alex Georgiev, who they traded with New York to get, New York Rangers. And they added Andrew Cogliano and some other smaller players. But those are the two main additions, Georgiev, the goalie, and Cogliano. So I guess it's going to be Georgiev and Pavel Francouz, who we saw in the playoffs last year. Let me just make sure I'm not forgetting a goalie. I think I am. Yeah, Pavel Francouz and Alex Georgiev. That's going to be the tandem for them. But, like I mentioned, the Avalanche are so good, it probably doesn't matter who's in the goal for them. Georgiev's really not bad. I mean, he's 26, and I think he just kind of got forced out because New York Rangers had a lot of goalies there.
Yeah.
And they still have Cale Makar. They still have Devin Taves. They still have all the offensive guys, you know, Rantanen, Landeskog, McKinnon, Nichushkin, who they re-signed. They add Cogliano. I think that's not a bad signing, and I think that's kind of a cheap version of Nazem Kadri, right? Like, he's kind of the replacement for him. He's not as good as Nazem Kadri, but he's maybe the replacement for that. Do you see any way in which this team is worse? I really think Colorado's not significantly worse, even though they lost those players.
No, I don't think they're worse at all. I'm not going to say that they've improved. I'd say that, you know, the subtractions and the additions kind of even out. And like you said, you know, look, Cogliano's no Kadri. I'll agree with that. And the Burakovsky, that's a loss. But there's so much firepower on that team offensively that I don't necessarily think that they're going to have to spread it out as much as they did before. You can have a lot of that production from those top lines and those top guys. It's not going to impact them in any significant way. We'll say that.
Yeah, they are returning 8 of their top 10 scorers.
Yeah.
And the ones that they're losing are Burakovsky and Nazem Kadri, which, like I said, is not insignificant. But, like, that team, their offense was so good, they could lose two of those guys outright and probably still be okay. And, like, their defense is still really good, and they still have – Cale Makar, which, speaking of the best player for the Colorado Avalanche going into 2022, is Cale Makar, I think. So, Norris Trophy winner.
I'd have to agree with that.
Going to be really good. So, I still think, like I said, they go to the Stanley Cup final again because they're just built different. Who's next?
Let's do the Wild.
The Wild. Now, here is one that's pretty interesting. All of these were interesting, but this one in particular, because they lost Kevin Fiala.
I've heard of him before.
to the Kings. Big Kevin Fiala, Big Kev, Big KF. He goes to Los Angeles to join his buddy Victor. And they did not add much because they really couldn't. They didn't have any money. So they add a backup goalie, and they add Nicholas Patan, who is a forward at one point with the Winnipeg Jets. But the other major additions that are not really additions is Marc-Andre Fleury, who they traded for at the deadline. They signed him to a two-year contract, so he's going to be their goalie going forward. They lose Alex Stalock. I guess I should have mentioned that. Wait, hold on. Let me just double-check that and make sure. Alex Stalock. He was. No, they lost him last year. That's right. Okay, never mind. They lost him last year. I was confusing that because someone else gained Stalock, I think we're going to talk about in a second. But so they're going to have Marc-Andre Fleury, who is older but still very good, in goal. And the rest of their team is basically the same, except they lose Kevin Fiala. So one other thing I'll mention is Marco Rossi, one of their top prospect. He's probably going to make the jump and be promoted next year. So, like, is Marco Rossi going to replace Kevin Fiala's production? Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, probably not immediately, but, like, you know, eventually he's the guy. But so, and I think their best player is Kirill Kaprizov. Assuming that all of that Russia's.
I think it got cleared up. I was paying close attention to that for a while, and then I noticed something where it said that he'd been cleared, he'd gotten over, everything was good, and that they didn't anticipate any issues with him playing this season. So, well, I mean, that's good. I mean, that was definitely a situation to keep an eye on that would have impacted a lot of players, but he was the one that seemed to be making the most headlines. So the fact that got sorted out probably means that everything's cool. I feel like this is a team that, and it's funny because, you know, you've got the key subtraction of Fiala, but I feel like this team's gotten worse.
I think that they probably got worse. I don't know that. Well, I guess when you see my predictions of the where things will fit, yeah, I think they definitely got worse. But I still think they're pretty good. I mean, if you've got Kaprizov, their defense to me, I think is vulnerable. Jared Spurgeon's just like excellent. I mean, he's really, really good. And I guess Brodin and Dumba are like a really, I don't know, maybe they're not as vulnerable as I thought. They're still a good team, and they've still got Ryan Hartman, Freddie Gaudreau up there, Jordan Greenway. Erickson Ek really came on last year, so he'll probably improve. He's only 25. Maybe I need to readjust for the Minnesota Wild. Maybe rethink where they're at.
I don't know. I see them taking a turn next year.
They still have $12 million in dead cap money owed to Ryan Suter and Zach Parise.
Wow. That's.
And it goes up to 14, crazy. I think, next year.
That's insane.
That's a lot of money. Duck Kyle Turris. Wow. Happy retirement, yeah. Kyle Turris.
Yeah. I mean, in light of what's going on in Minnesota, $2 million a year isn't that big of a deal.
No, it's not. We do the Predators do owe Kyle Turris for quite a long time. He's going to get paid for a while. So,
well, I mean, you know, they signed him to the contract. I mean, it's not his fault.
Am I correct that we have one team remaining?
Well, before we talk about Nashville, yeah.
Well, yeah. True. One other team besides Nashville to talk about.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I wanted to save this. I figured that a lot of people would enjoy. I never say this. I would never dance on someone's grave. You know.
Sure, you would.
No, but this is going to be enjoyable.
What if there's a really good band playing or a really good DJ?
What if the Kings of Leon are playing? Alex,
there you go. There you go. Exactly. What if it's Kings of Leon in front of 200 people and there's a grave right there? Awesome. You're probably going to do some dancing.
I mean, you know, probably. And really, if you think about it, and you think about all the people who've been buried before modern cemeteries, we're all probably dancing on graves, living on them even.
Exactly. But of course, we are about to talk about the Chicago Blackhawks,
who
are a veritable mess.
Wow. And
first of all, the names out alone make this look really bad.
I think the names they took away could beat the team they have now. Say that.
Alex DeBrincat, Dylan Strome, Dominic Kubalik, Kirby Dach, Brandon Hagel. All gone. DeBrincat to Ottawa, Strome to Washington, Hagel to Tampa, Kubalik to Detroit, and Kirby Dach to Montreal. That's a lot of players. Now, one argument here. Here's one argument in defense of Chicago. They had all those players last year and were a bad team. So
that's true.
Maybe it's not all about just like losing those guys, but I mean, if I had to pick two players out of that, I would say DeBrincat and Kirby Dach are two players that like you're really gonna hurt, miss. You're really gonna miss.
Yeah,
DeBrincat for obvious reasons. He's an incredible goal scorer, but Kirby Dach sort of was supposed to be your future. Now he's gonna be the, you know, the future for Montreal, and they needed to do this because they had cap situations. They had they needed to move all their players. Their key additions, these additions are not bad ones, though. And this is where we get – so they added – in goal, they added Alex Stalock and Peter Mrazek. I would argue that no team improved their goaltending situation better than Chicago – in the Central Division, that is – improved their goaltending better than Chicago did, because they had Colin Delia and Kevin Lankinen last year and improved it to Alex Stalock and Peter Mrazek, who are – average goalies. Colin Delia and Kevin Lankinen were bad goalies. So their goaltending situation is better.
Okay. I'll give you that.
It's not, I mean, it's still not going to make a difference for them. They also add Max Domi, Andreas Athanasiou, and Colin Blackwell, formerly of the Preds. Those are not bad additions. Max Domi, I can't figure out what happened with Max Domi. I'm not really sure why he's been jumping around all these different teams. Is it a coaching issue? I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but he went from Arizona to Montreal to Columbus to Carolina, and now he's with Chicago. What's going on there? And he had such promise. I mean, he had that one season with Montreal where he was really good. He had a great rookie year, finished sixth in the Calder voting. And he's now 27 years old and still has yet to really produce that at the level most people thought he would. Maybe he does that with Chicago. Athanasiou got great speed, not a ton of production. Colin Blackwell, we kind of know what he is. He's a fourth liner. I mean, none of these additions are anything close to Alex DeBrincat, Dylan Strome, or Kirby Dach. So, yeah. What are your thoughts?
I think the biggest thing here is that, you know, Chicago's been really a mess for a while. It's not new. And what you finally have happening is that they've embraced the fact that this run is over and they need to rebuild. And I think where, you know, the rubber is really going to meet the road is what's going to end up happening with Patrick Kane.
Right. And so we have heard what's the latest on the Patrick Kane situation?
That Patrick Kane, and again, I don't know how much truth there is of this, but you know, the people on the internet, they like to talk. But I've heard a rumor. I've seen a rumor that he has submitted three teams that he's willing to be traded to. Of course,
the Oilers, the Maple Leafs, and the Rangers. So he probably is going to get traded to one of those teams. As For the Predators fan base and for the Nashville Predators, like that is great news for them, because Patrick Kane has been a killer to the Nashville Predators for so long, and he will potentially go to teams that they will not see that often. Oilers potentially would be worse because they're in the Western Conference at least, but not the Western Conference, but they're in they're nearby. they'll play the Oilers.
There you go.
Could see him in the playoffs. And I have written down as the Chicago Blackhawks' best player going into 2022 as Patrick Kane, who might get traded. So,
yeah, You take, you know, if you look at all those subtractions and you talk about how none of the additions do anything in the way of replacing the subtractions, then you add Patrick Kane to that list. This team goes from a team in, you know, that's clearly a basement dweller, doesn't have a hope or prayer, to a team that has, you know, I'd say a lot of empty seats coming up the next season.
Like next year, they're going to have Tyler Johnson, Jonathan Toews leading the way. This is assuming Patrick Kane leaves. They're going to have Jonathan Toews and Tyler Johnson. A very checked out Jonathan Toews, by the way. I'm not necessarily all that motivated. And then where is the rest of the goal scoring coming from? I mean, it's just like there's nothing else. I mean, there's nothing. And then defensively, their best defenseman is Seth Jones, who has not been good recently. He's 27 now, and he's like really struggling. Man, it's going to be bad. I think Chicago could be really, truly bad next year. On that note, I want to say this. I will never forget. Well, look, there's a lot of bad takes out there, and I don't try to always expose them, but I remember very specifically last year, opening night of the NHL season, there were a lot of people on Preds Media Row talking about how the Blackhawks were going to be pretty good and pushing for a playoff spot. I mean, people that you and I know, people that have opinions that I respect and who were saying this very confidently. And when I was challenging it and saying, I'm looking at this roster, I'm not seeing it, they were like, no, just Chicago is going to be better. That did not happen. And I was right. And I just wanted to get that out there.
And I'll just to go a step further, I want to point out that they won 28 games last season.
That's really bad.
They won 28. Like there's 82 games in a season and they won 28 of them. Like that's not good at all. Like
somehow they weren't worse in the division though.
No, somehow magically they weren't, but man, that's rough.
Chicago will be very bad. All right, so where do the Preds fit into this? Let's do the quick – we're not going to go into all the additions that the Predators have made because we've already done all that. But the key additions for the Predators, Ryan McDonagh, Nino Niederreiter. Those are the main two. They signed Philip Forsberg, so he's coming back. Key subtractions? I mean, Nick Cousins and Luke Cunningham are basically it. That's it.
I mean, but is it addition by subtraction though?
I don't know that it's addition by subtraction. It's just very easy to replace that production because they didn't produce much.
Right. But
they weren't bad guys for the team. It's just like now it means that, you know, John Hines can't stick Luke Cunningham on the top line anymore.
That's really a win in my opinion, but I'm not saying anything bad about either of these players. What you said is correct. That's that kind of production is something you can replace pretty simply. And I think Luke Cunningham, I think when they acquired him, I think that was a good acquisition. It just didn't work out the way they wanted to. I'm sure it didn't work out the way Luke Cunningham wanted it to either. You know, it's not like the Preds were just disappointed and Cunningham was like, what? It's fine. I'm sure he's disappointed in his output as well. So I think the ability to move on from that is fine. I think, you know, I just had an article come out where I talk about that second line and what I think's going to happen, what needs to happen, and what will happen. So I'm interested to see, you know, how that's going to play out on the second line. If you want to read it, it's at AtoZSports.com. You
can check it out. Check it out. Sean has when did you publish that? Thursday, Friday?
Yeah.
So, go check that out. Some good options there. I think there's some interesting thoughts Sean has about the second line specifically. I happen to think that they won't make any more moves. I think that they're done. I think they're going into training camp with what they got now. Barring injury, I don't think they'll have any moves. All right, let's talk about – just to wrap that up, the other changes that the Predators have, like I said, they got Philip Forsberg back, so not really a change, but he's definitely going to be back. And then getting UC Saros back healthy. UC Saros will be back in the net. Their best player going into 2022, Norris Trophy runner up with more first place votes, Roman Josi. when I look at, so I don't know if you did this prior to the show, but I was thinking about where the Predators fit into the Central Division and thinking about maybe how would I predict the finish to look like. I think there's no real debate. I think Colorado is going to win the division. They're kind of untouchable at this point. I think St. Louis is probably the clear second best team. I have Nashville at third. I think that they could easily jump from a fifth place finish in the division, which is where they were last year, to third pretty easily. I mean, I think that they're a better team, and I think that other teams did not get better. I think that they could pass Minnesota and Dallas based on what these two teams did in the offseason. What are your thoughts on that?
I would say, I think what it's going to come down to, okay, first, I agree. I think that the Predators have become a better team based on what's happened in the offseason. And I do agree that some of the teams have not improved. And a couple that really weren't in contention have gotten worse. I'm going to stand by saying that I think Minnesota is a worse team than they were. But I think the biggest key for me is whether or not the better team now is going to be a more successful team. Is it kind of hinges on a couple of things, and that is this. Number one, can the second line get set up the way it needs to give some players some consistency and familiarity to where they can be an offensive contributor on a nightly basis? And that's the number one thing. Number two, got to do something about careless, dumb stick penalties. If you can shore up those two things and get that taken care of, then, yeah, I can see the Predators finishing third easily. I can see them jumping those other teams
The Predators finished with 97 points last year. Third place, St. Louis, 109. That's a big jump. That's 12 points there. But I don't think St. Louis is going to be that good. I don't think Minnesota is going to be ahead of them with 113. Colorado is probably going to have 120 again.
Probably.
They're probably going to be right up at the top. So, but again, we're not talking about going to the top. I think we're talking about the Predators jumping.
Right.
Could the Predators be 8 points better than last year? That's only four wins. I think absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely, they could be 8 points better than last year and be a 100-point team, 100-plus point team, push Dallas and Minnesota down a little bit and challenge St. Louis for that top spot. Now, what does that mean for the playoffs? I mean, we're way far away from that. I mean, like, if they had to play St. Louis in the first round of the playoffs, I think it'd be a tough matchup. But I look at in doing all of this and looking at all the additions and subtractions for these teams, I just think Nashville is like one of the only teams to improve.
Yeah, so, no, I agree. I think too, and I forgot to mention this, you know, you didn't mention this addition, but the Predators did sign Kevin Lankinen. And I think it's interesting going into the season, you know, one of the biggest concerns was the amount of time UC Saros spent on the ice last season.
Yeah.
Somebody, I don't remember who it was, wrote a really nice article about playing UC Saros less next season.
I think that was me.
That's right. That's who it was. It was Alex. And if you want to read that, you should head over to A2ZSports.com. But here's the thing. Is the plan to have Lankinen as the backup and to send Ingram back to the AHL? Like, what do you think's going on there? Because do we trust Lankinen as a backup any more than we trusted Riddick?
I think Lankinen is a sign the guy, bring him into training camp, see where Connor Ingram's at, and then one of them's going to be gone. One of them gets waived, and they'll be on another team.
Okay.
I don't know which one it is. I have no idea. It could be Lankinen. Yeah, Connor Ingram's gone, but I think that would be a mistake. But I think they bring him with
My concern is, if you're looking at being able to the luxury of not having to overwork your goaltender, and you've brought in Lankinen, and that's the guy that Ingram has to beat, that's not setting the bar very high.
It's not setting the bar. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It makes the Connor Ingram assessment very strange. It's like, where do what do they actually think about him?
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, you look at the way he was kind of forced into the spotlight last season was to come in and play the playoffs. that was not, especially to play it against the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, that's not a fair assessment, in my opinion, anyway. So,
yeah,
you know, I think he comes in. I guess you have competition, but whoever remains, you know, either Ingram sticks around and outplays and Lankinen, who's just still kind of Lankinen, which doesn't really prove anything about Ingram, or God forbid, you know, Lankinen beats out Ingram, and then you kind of know what you're getting there.
Yeah.
That makes me a little bit nervous.
Yes, it probably should. But again, UC Soros, the biggest impact player on the team in terms of wins and losses. By the way, after third for Nashville, if I put Nashville third, I have Dallas and then Minnesota. But if Dallas does not retain one of those two players we talked about, Robertson or Ottinger, Minnesota passes them. I think both those teams are playoff teams. And then after that, it's some order of Winnipeg, Arizona, Chicago. The only thing I'm positive of is that Chicago's at the bottom.
Yeah.
Maybe Arizona's better than Winnipeg. I don't know. I mean, playing in that fan box that they're going to have, maybe they get a little home juice going, win some games at home.
Yeah, I can see it. That's going to be exciting. Everybody that's been negative about it, I think, isn't thinking about it the right way.
Okay, I think that wraps it up. We got a nice little roundup of the Central Division. Maybe we'll look at the rest of the league here in a little in the coming weeks and see. But we're getting closer and closer each week to actual hockey. It'll be again another 5 weeks, 6 weeks until we actually see the real thing. But pretty fun. So all right, that does it for our show. You can check out all of our hockey coverage at A to Z Sports. Wait, I'm sorry, Sean is waving me down. What is it, Sean?
Oh, I was just waving goodbye.
Oh, I thought you were waving and saying, hold on, I have something very important to say.
No, I always wave goodbye to the people that can't see us.
Check out all of our hockey coverage at AtoZSports.com. Follow Sean on Twitter at SCSNSH, and follow me on Twitter at AlexArby1, and we'll see everybody next time.